In Tulsa today, Police Reserve Deputy Robert Bates turned himself in a day after he was charged with manslaughter. Bates says he mistakenly shot and killed suspect Eric Harris as he was restrained by police, confusing his gun with his taser. Yesterday, Harris's brother accused Tulsa police of telling him that getting a lawyer would gum up the investigation. Meanwhile, there's new video out of North Charleston, South Carolina, of police officer Michael Slager, who was videotaped gunning down a fleeing suspect. In the new video, Slager can be heard tasering a different motorist, as that motorist is held down by officers.
Back up, I'm going to tase.
That tased driver is now suing. Wesley Lowry of the Washington Post covers race and law enforcement. And Wesley, start with Tulsa. Eric Harris, who was shot there, was seen in a video allegedly making a gun deal. Police had reason to suspect him. But there are questions about police tasering someone who's already restrained.
And there are large questions about that. I think one of the things, one of the moments we're having here as we talk about policing and we're talking about potentially reforming some of the tactics in policing, it's questions of when officers even need to be using some of this force. In this case, Eric Harris was being restrained by several officers. There is a question, a reasonable person might question, whether or not a taser even potentially would have been the appropriate thing to be used in this case. Now, police officers have to make a lot of split-second decisions, and they're often are dealing with people who either have some type of emotional or mental incapacitation or who in fact are violent, people who are criminals. However, there is a real question here of when, especially in terms of people of color, when these types of when this force is being used. As we saw in the Department of Justice report on the Ferguson police, they concluded essentially that force was being used excessively all of the time and disproportionately towards people of color. And so what we see now, anytime we have video evidence, but also anytime there's this jump ball, there's this he said, she said between police and a victim or a victim's family, we now have an increased scrutiny of whether or not this force should have been used. And frankly, I do think that's a good thing. I think we have to ask these hard questions of, okay, in this case, whether it was a gun, whether it was a taser, whether it was a baton, whether it was pepper spray, how do we find the best practices to make our policing better?
What about the other officers, though, on the video, the way they spoke to Eric Harris, who's trying to tell them he can't breathe and has been shot? We don't have to go into detail here, but it's expletive laden.
And I think that speaks to one of the worst fears of a lot of people that a lot of people have of their police is that there is some type of contempt for residents, for some of the people they're having to deal with. It certainly did not shine a very positive light on this police department.
Well, Wesley, I'm going to jump in, play devil's advocate here. Some people would say that somebody suspected of gun dealing is contemptible. And the police officers had said early on that they weren't aware he was shot. What's the difference between rough treatment for someone who you believe to be a suspect and excessive force?
I think there's a large question to be asked. If any of those police officers don't know the difference between the sound of a taser and the sound of a gunshot, there are some real questions there. Second, it's this idea that criminals also pay taxes. Just because someone has potentially committed a crime or potentially resisted arrest or potentially run from a police officer, there's no statute in our law that says that those are executable offenses.
Yeah. Well, what about what some police experts and certainly lawyers in these cases are talking about, a phenomenon they call slip and capture, when people do the opposite of what they intend just because of the moment that you're in, reach for a gun instead of a taser.
They are placed in oftentimes impossible situations. That said, you know, it's the corny Spider-Man quote, but with great power comes great responsibility. As a society, we allow our police officers to police us, to have this ability to potentially shoot and kill people. And I think that does mean we have to hold them to a certain standard.
And just comment on the new tape that's coming out of North Charleston, South Carolina, showing Officer Michael Slager, who shot a fleeing motorist, in the new tape, tasering a man at a traffic stop, a man who's being roughly dragged out of his car by two other officers. That man on Friday filed a lawsuit against Slager. What do you see happening here?
We're starting to see what could be considered a pattern here. Officer Slager and who knows how many other officers potentially exert force when they don't believe they're being watched or don't know they're being watched. And that is something that I think it speaks to the role that cameras are going to play in the moment we're having now, as well as any potential reforms. Because for years, you've had people talk about these interactions, and the benefit of the doubt always goes to the police officer. Videotape is starting to change that a little bit.
But do you think this is a moment?
I certainly think it's a moment, and it's hard to feel the moment when you're in it. We're certainly in a moment right now. We're having a robust national conversation about policing and potentially about policing reform, and that's something that hasn't happened in this country in decades.
Wesley Lowery, who covers race and law enforcement for The Washington Post, weighing in on the most recent spasms in the headlines. Wesley, thank you.
Anytime. Thank you.
And we have a quick note at the end of this hour. R&B legend Percy Sledge died this morning at his home in Baton Rouge, Louisiana at 73, and after launching many a slow dance romantic evening.